Well, church, if you have your scriptures with you today, please turn to the book of Ephesians. Today we're closing out our series on this wonderful, wonderful book of Ephesians. I hope it's been a blessing to you, a challenge to you, enlightening to you. Today is kind of bittersweet for me since we're at the end of the message in Ephesians. It was a series entitled Living Lives of Transforming Grace, and it's a book of deep theological truths that you can mine it for all its riches and nuggets and glories. But it talks about many, many things about being predestined, being chosen, being in Christ, being holy and blameless in Christ, being sealed by the Spirit, being made alive by the Spirit, being transformed by the Spirit, and living through the Spirit. And we've been talking about the full armor of God the last several weeks. And today, Paul closes the letter out, seeking to bless his people with some blessings of encouragement and seeking the Lord to bless them with peace, love, and grace. This is Palm Sunday. It's a day where we remember the beginning of Jesus' Passion Week as he rode into Jerusalem sitting on a donkey, making his a public appearance, in a sense, of declaring and fulfilling prophecy of riding in on a donkey, that he was the long-awaited Messiah. He was making sure Jerusalem knew and the rest of the world knew that he was the one. During his earthly ministry, when Jesus would perform miracles and things as such, he would tell people, don't go around telling people, for several reasons. He didn't want people, you know, getting so excited to where he couldn't do ministry because it would draw large crowds. But also he knew it would rear up the religious leaders, and it wasn't time yet for him to go to the cross. But on Palm Sunday, as they're getting ready for Passover, it was time. He set his face towards the cross, and he was ready to make it known that he was the Messiah. He would come to lay down his life for his people. So that's today. This coming week is Maundy Thursday, Good Friday, and of course Resurrection Sunday. I'll try to prepare some messages for you and put those online as well, so you'll be seeing emails and notices sent out about that. But today we find ourselves at the end of Ephesians, so we're in Ephesians 6. We'll look at verses 21 to 24. Let me pray before we start. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do pray that you would fill us with your Holy Spirit, that you would lead us, that you would guide us, that as we think about all the things that we've learned in this wonderful, wonderful letter to the church of Ephesus, that you would impress them on our hearts and our minds. They would be, we'd be rooted and grounded in the love of Christ, and that we would learn to be people to encourage one another, to constantly reflect on your love, your grace, your mercy in our life. And Lord, we just pray that you grant us peace today, be with those in their homes, all around the community, and in the world. Just bless us, we pray, in Christ's name. Amen. So if you have your text, we're going to look at Ephesians 6, verses 21 to 24. So Paul writes, "So that you also may know how I am and what I am doing, Tychicus, the beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, will tell you everything. I have sent him to you for this very purpose, that you may know how we are, and that he may encourage your hearts. Peace be to the brothers and love with faith from God the Father and Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with you all who love our Lord Jesus Christ with love incorruptible." Stan Toller, he tells a story of a man who stopped to watch a Little League baseball game. He was standing near the outfield area, and he asked the one boy who was playing what the score was. And the boy says, "It's 18 to nothing. It's the top of the first." And the guy kind of scratched his head. He couldn't believe it. It was only the first inning, the top of the first inning, and the team was already losing 18 to nothing. And the man asked, well, you guys don't seem very discouraged. It looks like it's almost over." And the boy just looked over at the man, puzzled, and scratches said, "There's no reason to be discouraged. We haven't got up to bat yet." Just wait till we get up to bat. This boy was basically saying the game isn't over yet. We haven't gone on the offensive yet. And rather than being discouraged, this boy, just wait. It'll be our time to bat soon. In our Christian life, there will be seasons in our spiritual battles where it seems like the enemy is defeating us. It will seem like it's 18 to nothing. It will seem like the pounding won't end. It seems as you're trying to fight off temptations, sins, fear, and doubt. It's like a losing battle. But we must remember who we are in Christ Jesus. He's our victor, he's our warrior, and he's our champion. The same Spirit who raised Christ from the dead is the same Spirit who lives in us, who's changed us, who empowered us, and who will take us all the way home. You see, in Christ Jesus, we don't lose. We must remember we'll be up to bat soon in our spiritual battles. And little by little, through Christ, we will overcome our sins. We will overcome our fears. We'll overcome our doubts. One day we will be glorified. All praise to the Lord Jesus Christ. John writes about this in his letter in 1 John. He says, "For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God?" You see, my temptations don't have the final say. My sin doesn't have the final say. My circumstances doesn't have the final say. My fears don't have the final say. Satan does not have the final say. But Jesus, the Son of God, has the final say. This one who rode into Jerusalem some 2,000 years ago, proclaiming to the world that he was the Messiah who would come to lay down his life, who would take his iniquities on his back and bear them as he endured the wrath of God on the cross, and he cried out, "It is finished. It is paid in full. Your sins have been atoned for." The Lord Jesus Christ has final say. Brothers and sisters, in this spiritual battle, we need to encourage one another with these truths of who we are in Christ Jesus. We need to encourage each other. We need to pray for one another. We need to ask the Lord to fill us with his peace, with his love, and with his grace. For in Christ, we overcome. Our theme for this morning is to seek to encourage one another. Seek to encourage one another in the Lord. And pray that the Lord would give his people peace, love, and grace. So the first thing I want to spend some time on is this idea of we need to be mindful to encourage one another in the Lord. Be mindful to encourage one another in the Lord. Again, he said, "So that you may also know how I am and what I'm doing, Tychicus, the beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, will tell you everything. I have sent him to you for this very purpose, that you may know how we are, that he may encourage your hearts." Remember, Paul is in prison. He's chained to a Roman guard. He's under house arrest. And as you can imagine, the people back in Ephesus would be concerned about Paul like we would be about any missionary who was arrested. They would have thoughts like, "Well, I wonder what the conditions are like for Paul. I wonder how he's being treated. I wonder what's going to happen to him. I wonder what's going to happen to the church if Paul is executed." They were concerned. So Paul will send his brother in the Lord, Tychicus, and to share with them how he's doing and to encourage them. Tychicus was a native of Asia. He may have been from Ephesus as well. It seems like the church may have known him already and would have been comfortable receiving him and his words. Tychicus, we know from the book of Acts and 2 Corinthians that he shared some of the experiences with Paul. One commentator explains in 2 Corinthians 11, when Paul said, "I was on frequent journeys, I was in danger from rivers, danger from robbers, danger from my own people, danger from Gentiles, danger in the city, danger in the wilderness, danger at sea, danger from false brothers." Tychicus would have been with him through those experiences. Paul and Tychicus had this this brotherly bond of ministry experiences and affection. And Paul is saying, Tychicus, go. Go take this letter to them. Let them know how I am doing and encourage them in the Lord. This idea of encourage is the idea to attend one in a trial. To go to one who is suffering. To go to them and comfort them. You all know what it's like to be encouraged, hopefully. When you're experiencing some kind of frustration or trial, maybe a hard day at work, a hard day at school, a hard day at home, or just a rough sports experience, someone came to you and spoke to you and encouraged you to see beyond the current circumstances. Encouragement can be like a second wind. When you're tired, when you're bummed out and you feel like you can't go on, someone puts their arm around you and says, you got this. Just one more step. You can go forward in this. It's like a second wind. I don't know if you've ever gone to a 5K or a marathon where there's runners running down the street. People will line the streets and sit there and yell and encourage them on. And I used to scratch my head at this, because if you're standing there and watching the race, you only get to see the runners for just a couple seconds as they run by. But as a runner who's tired, who's exhausted, and your body wants to shut down, you hear the voice of a friend or a family member, and you hear them say, you got this. Keep going. You're almost there. It's like a second wind. You just build up your lungs, take a breath, and you keep going. Or maybe think about a boxer or the MMA fighters when they're battling during a round and they're taking on their enemy and they feel exhausted and the bell rings and they go to their corner. Their corners encourage them. They give them some insight. Here's what you can do the next. Just hang in there. You can endure. You can last. And so in our spiritual battles, in this walk of following the Lord Jesus Christ, we need to encourage one another. We need words of encouragement of who we are in Christ and His power in our lives. Brian Chappell writes, tender words build strong hearts. And love changes and recharges the will. Tender words build strong hearts, and love changes and recharges the will. Now, obviously, there's times for rebuke, there's times for correction, but if that's all we're known for as Christians, just pointing out everybody's sins and mishaps, we've gotten off track. We need to be people who encourage one another in the Lord as well. A good encourager must be a good listener. You must actually care about the person and the trial that they're in so you may be able to help them. We need to be a Tychicus. Or if you're familiar with Barnabas in the book of Acts, we need to be a Barnabas to one another. Barnabas in the book of Acts had a nickname. It was Son of Encouragement. He believed in the power of God that could change people. When Saul came to faith in the New Testament, he used to be a murderer of the church. He used to want to throw the church in prison. And he came to faith. Barnabas was the one that convinced the disciples that, yeah, God changed him. We can take him in. When Paul had frustrations with Mark and wouldn't take Mark along with him on a missionary journey, Barnabas takes Mark under his wing to encourage him, to minister to him. And it was just a little while later that Mark became useful to Paul because of Barnabas' care and his encouragement. Barnabas believed in the power of God to change people in his time. As an encourager believes that God can move mountains, that spiritually dead hearts can be made alive, that God can make people more like Christ. He believes that all things work together for good to those who love God. An encourager believes that God can change things. So as you consider your interactions with others, would you say that you encourage people in the Lord? Again, there's times for correction, there's times for rebuke, but do you strive to encourage one another in the Lord? Take time today Think about your relationships, how you speak, how you share. Think maybe when's the last time you just encouraged them in some way in the Lord. Next, Paul says, let's pray for the church and seek God's blessing. He says, peace be to the brothers. Peace be to the brothers. So we need to pray that the Lord would grant his people peace. Pray that they would know the gospel of peace, the good news that the war between us and God is over, that the Son of God has come to redeem, to rescue, and to atone for all of their sins, that before God there's now no condemnation because of Christ Jesus. Pray that they would know that peace. Pray that through faith in Christ they would continue to grow in that peace and trust in that peace. Pray that our brothers and sisters in the Lord, in the midst of tribulation, in the midst of this pandemic, that their hearts and our minds would be guarded in Christ Jesus, that they would have peace, that in Christ they overcome the world. That as death looms, that they would know that Christ is the resurrection and life, and that they would have peace in him. That, as Paul says, while we're living, we live unto Christ, and when we die, we have gain, because we are with the Lord in glory, that we would have peace. And pray for us that as we've experienced this peace from God, this forgiveness of God, that we would be peacemakers. It would be ones that would try to reconcile and bring healing to relationships, to one another, that we would know peace. That with all our diversity, with all our differences, that we are one in Christ, that we of all people would be people of peace. To pray that no matter what the storms that come in our life, distresses or persecutions or afflictions, that we would have peace. This idea of peace is quieting your soul. Quieting your soul, knowing that in Christ you are complete, that in Christ you are restored. In our position before God, we are holy, we are blameless. In the midst of that, he's making us like that. He's making us more like Christ. But in Christ, we have peace. We have wholeness. We are restored, and that God has our best interest in mind in any situation. In Hebrew, it's this idea of shalom. It's peace. It's a wholeness. It's a completeness. And that's what we possess in Christ. That's why in Psalm 46, this great psalm that talks about God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble. The world seems crazy, that the nations are in chaos, that it seems like the mountains and the seas are in an uproar. In the midst of all of that, God will say, be still. Be still and know that I am God. Be still. We can have peace. Pray that your brothers and sisters in Christ would grow in their trust and in their confidence of who they are in Christ, that they would have peace. So encourage one another. Pray for each other to know the peace of God. And pray for your brothers and sisters to grow more and more in the love of God. Pray that God's people would know his love. Paul writes that they would know the love with faith from God the Father and Lord Jesus Christ. Church, never ever forget the love of God for you. In your worst of days, in your darkest despair, remember the great love that God has for you. This one who would send his son to go to a cross, to bear your wrath. On your worst of days, remember him. When we were yet enemies, Christ would die for us. He loves you. Paul, we've talked about this many times in Ephesians 3. It was one of his prayers. He says, I pray that you would have strength to comprehend with everyone, with all the saints, what's the breadth, what's the length, what's the height, and the depth of the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge. That we would grow in that more and more when the doubts and fears and frustrations arise, that I would remember that I am loved by the holy God of the universe. That we would grow in that. John reminds us that in this the love of God was made manifest among us. It was shown to us that God sent his Son to us that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we love God. Remember, we were rebellious. We were walking in our own ways. We didn't want God. We nailed his Son to the tree. It's not that we loved him, but he loved us and sent his Son to atone for us. He loves you, church, and it will never, ever change. How did God demonstrate such love? Again, it's Palm Sunday. Jesus comes in. He does 3 years of wonderful ministry of touching and healing people. But he come to be the Lamb of God who laid down his life for the sins of his people. On Palm Sunday, he sets his face to go to that cross. He rides in on a donkey and they're shouting, Hosanna. They're laying the palm branches down. They see Christ somewhat, but not fully. They want someone like King David and they're shouting, Hosanna, praise God. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And the Pharisees and the leaders are saying, tell those people to be quiet. And Jesus says, listen, this is such a pregnant moment that if they were to be quiet, the stones would shout. The universe is seeing, the world is seeing, I am the Messiah, I am the long-awaited one. I am the long-awaited one that Adam and Eve were waiting for. I am the long-awaited one that Abraham was looking for. I'm the long-awaited one that Moses was looking for. I'm the long-awaited one that David was looking for. I am that King, and I have come to lay down my life for my people, to bear their iniquities, that they would have to not worry about it anymore. You see, love, Jesus himself humbled himself and became a man. Love touched the untouchable. Love went to the outcast. Love stood for truth and grace and mercy. Love went to the cross for you. And this love burst through the grave on Easter morning. Jesus will carry you through anything. Jesus will carry us through this pandemic. Remember the love of God for you in Christ Jesus. Embrace that love. Share that love when the world doesn't make sense. When it seems like you just can't get through another day. Remember the love of God for you in Christ Jesus. If he would send his son for you to atone for your sins, to bring you all the way home to heaven, he'll get you through today. He'll get you through today. Remember the love of God. Pray that the church, that brothers and sisters in the Lord would know the love of God. And lastly, pray that God's people would experience his grace. Each day that they would remember and experience his grace. Paul says, grace be with all of you who love the Lord Jesus Christ with love incorruptible. Remember his grace. Remember his undeserved love. Remember his riches at Christ's expense. I think of the passage back in Ephesians 2, where it says, we were dead in our trespasses and sins. We were following the course of the world. We were just like everyone else. So sinful. So selfish. We didn't want God. And what we deserved, it says in Ephesians 2, is we were by nature children of wrath. We take all God's goodness, all of his blessings, and we kind of spit in his face. We didn't deserve a thing. We didn't deserve grace. We didn't deserve mercy. We didn't deserve forgiveness. We deserved wrath, it says. But then says this glorious truth, but God who is rich in mercy, God who is rich in mercy makes us alive. He breathes his spirit into our souls, awakens us to the reality of the ugliness of the sin in our lives, that we are lost and without hope except for Christ. And we run to Christ. We trust in Christ. It says that we are saved by grace through faith. This is not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. Remember that grace. Remember, the only thing that we deserved was wrath. And God, being so rich in his mercy, says, I love you. I'm sending my son to redeem you. I'm going to make you alive to these truths so you can experience them and embrace them and be changed by them. You're saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. Grow in that grace, God's riches at Christ's expense. Encourage each other in that grace. That in Christ God is for you. There's a little ditty that says, The devil trembles when he sees the weakest Christian on his knees praying. In this spiritual battle, we need to be in prayer. And James Boyce says, I believe the devil does tremble because the praying Christian is calling upon the inexhaustible and the irresistible power of God. And Satan has to flee. He is no match. When we're praying, we're stepping up the bat. We're ready to overcome in Christ. So how are you feeling today with all this stuff going on with the pandemic? Does it seem like it's 18-0 and it's only the first inning? Does it seem like it's just a losing venture? Remember, the game's over and we're almost up the bat. Remember in Christ, who is our victor, our warrior, and champion, that you overcome. This Satan doesn't have the final word. Your sin doesn't have the final word. This pandemic doesn't have the final word. Death doesn't have the final word. Jesus, the Son of God, has the final word. Remember, the same Spirit who raised Christ from the dead now dwells in you to empower you to live this life of transforming grace. If you don't know Jesus Christ yet as your Lord and Savior, receive Him by faith. Take Him and hold on to Him. Confess your sins. Trust Him. Again, don't let your fears have the final word. Don't let your sins have the final word. Don't let your doubts have the final word. Let Jesus, this one who said, "It is finished," have the final word. Trust Him. As John says, we who are in Christ Jesus, we who have the Son of God, and love Him by faith, we overcome. Because Christ has overcome. Unite yourself to Him through faith. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. Brothers and sisters, encourage one another in the Lord in these truths. Encourage one another in the Lord in what He's doing in your lives. And ask the Lord to give us His peace, His love, and His grace. Seek to encourage one another. Encourage one another in the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember His peace. Remember His love. Remember His grace. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we pray that You would speak to us today. That You would encourage our hearts and who we are in Christ. That You never leave us nor forsake us. That the gates of hell will not stop the advancement of Your church. Death can't stop us, or sin can't stop us. Jesus, You've atoned for us. You've made us clean. You've made us holy. Lord, I pray that You encourage everyone's heart today, that You are our only comfort in life and death. You have atoned for all of our sins. You have set us free from the tyranny of the evil one. You watch over us in such a way that not a single hair can fall from our head apart from Your will. And that by Your Holy Spirit, You empower us to live for You today unto glory. Bless Your people with love. Bless Your people with peace. Bless Your people with grace, we pray in Christ's name. Amen.